Reflections with Marilyn Baker. Brought to you by Torch Trust, the Christian organization with a vision for people with sight loss.
Hello, and welcome to Reflections, the programme from Torch Trust that focuses on faith and disability. I'm your host, Sheila Armstrong, standing in for Marilyn today. This week, we want to tell you about a happy accident. In the tiny village of Yelvertoft, with a population of less than 1,000, plays are staged in the village hall. One of these, shown at the beginning of February, was The Ghost Train by Arnold Ridley. You may remember Arnold Ridley as Godfrey in the hilarious Dad's Army TV series. The play caught our attention because its advert stated that it was particularly suitable for blind and partially sighted people. Dr. Mike Townsend and I went along with our guide dogs to the play to find out why. Jim Lyle, a member of the cast, agreed to reveal all. Now, I've got Jim Lyle with me, and he's going to tell me a bit about this play, The Ghost Train. Now, Jim, it was advertised as a play that would be very suitable for blind people. How did that come about?
Well, if I'm honest, what happened was at the end of last year, we were preparing a normal production of this play, and we were struggling a little bit in terms of making it come right. And then someone had the idea of saying, well, why don't we do it as a radio play? And as we were sat around together, we said, hey, if we did it as a radio play, it would be accessible to people who couldn't see.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
well, that's why I've come, really.
So that's why you've come.
Yeah.
And so it was a bit of an accident. So we said, OK, and we'll also use the raffle and things as a fundraiser for RNIB.
Oh, great. Yeah.
And, and we'll see if... And to start with, we contacted RNIB about the idea of encouraging some people to come. And to be honest, there was no people through that. But I contacted Torch Trust. I know, yeah. Gordon Temple from church.
Yes.
And I contacted Torch Trust, and Gordon promoted it. And I think that's how you came to hear about it.
Absolutely. But I've got my colleague Mike with me, who's also blind. And we're really looking forward to it. So I understand that the person who normally does your sets kind of left. Is that right? Is that how it came about?
It was a little bit like that. It was a little bit of people not being available to do things that they would normally be doing. But actually, we're all really excited about the way it's turned out.
Well,
and everybody's enjoying it. And we'd really appreciate your feedback on if there's anything that didn't work for you. So if you let us know afterwards if it worked for you or not. But we really think it should work just hearing.
Well, we're sure it will, and we've really been looking forward to it, and it's really nice when something is accidentally accessible.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
So now, let the ghostly goings-on commence.
This is the BBC Home Service. This evening, we take you to our Yelvertoft radio studio for The Ghost Train, a play in three acts by Mr. Arnold Ridley. This radio drama will be broadcast live in front of a select studio audience. It is 1925, and our drama is set in the waiting room at Fellvale Station, a remote wayside station on the South Cornwall Joint Railway.
Well, Mike, it's quite a while now since we went to see the play The Ghost Train. Did you enjoy it?
Well, it is a long time ago. It was a very cold February, actually.
Still
and
cold
I
today.
Did enjoy it, partly because I got welcomed with a glass of wine, and secondly, because it was a real buzz to be with the people there. I don't normally actually go to sort of ghostly plays or anything like that, because I don't sort of believe in ghosts. But I thought, well, it's a good story and I won't tell you about the end of it, but I really did enjoy going, and I'm glad I did.
Yeah, I enjoyed it too. Do you think it worked for blind people as a radio play, even though it was live on stage?
Actually, I think that gave the extra dimension, the live radio play idea. It did work as a radio play. I understood everything that was going on. There was no need for any audio description of a regular sort of theatre play. So it all worked. However, what was the extra dimension to me was that there were people around enjoying it with me. So instead of sitting at home in my study or on a February day by a crackling fire, I was actually with people enjoying it together. So yes, it did work as a radio play. It did work as a live performance. And I did enjoy it because it was a together experience.
Yeah, it was a very interesting concept. I mean, I don't think I've run across a play that's been done like that really before.
I have actually. The RNIB did a rerun of The Death of Aykroyd or something by Agatha Christie, the very first audio book, and to launch the 75th anniversary of RNIB Talking Books. We enjoyed that, and I enjoyed that as a live performance. However, this particular setting was round tables, cabaret style, not in rows, so we could chat with people, share a nibble or two, and of course, that glass of wine.
Yeah, that does help, doesn't it? So, would you recommend The Ghost Train as a play to blind people? Obviously, not all the time is going to be adapted as a radio play. Do you think people would still be able to follow it if it was on locally? Would you recommend them to go and see it?
If that particular format was on offer locally, yeah, because everything is described. It is a performance of the actual sound-only radio play with live interaction. So, yeah, I would recommend that.
Well, thanks very much, Mike. And we really both did enjoy it, didn't we?
We did.
So, if you ever get the chance to see The Ghost Train, do go along. We can thoroughly recommend it. Here's a teaser.
20 years ago, this very night, a party of people went to a bean feast up in Truro, and they chartered a special train to take them back home to St. Bland down the line. That were the only night train that ever ran on this line. Ted Holmes was on duty that night to close the bridge, which was always left open night times to let the clay boats sail out on the evening tide. Must have been 11 o'clock when they phoned down from Truro to shut the bridge as the special was a-starting off. Ted answers as how he'd go and shut the bridge that moment. Them was the last words as he was ever heard to speak.
What happened?
It was 11 o'clock. Ted says as how he'd go and shut the bridge. He went out of that door and...
Yes?
Struck down he were. His heart failed him, and he falls down there on the platform, dead.
How shocking!
After it was all over, out there they finds him, the lamp still burning in his hand.
This is horrible.
What about the train? The special from Truro?
Yes. Ted hadn't closed the bridge.
On comes the train, on down the valley at a fair lick, everyone being anxious to get home. On she comes, 40, 50 mile an hour, I reckon, and old Ben Isaacs driving. And it is seen that when he was just about this station here, something did warn him. What 'twere, the powers above alone know, but he claps on his brakes, and the train goes tearing through the station here, all the brakes on, the whistle screaming, and then... crash!
Oh my!
Were many killed?
6 outright and 2 died after. By some miracle, Ben Isaacs was thrown clear. He climbs out of the water and comes back here to the station, his mind clean gone. They say he walked the platform for hours, waving a red lamp and singing, Rock of Ages. Next morning he died, to a merciful release. 6 bodies they brought up from the mud, and laid out here, in this very room.
And that extract was a BBC production of Arnold Ridley's brilliant play, The Ghost Train, adapted for radio by Sean McKenna. Without giving anything away, the old hymn Rock of Ages, mentioned by the old station master, features in the play. Just before we go, here's a bit more about the hymn Rock of Ages. It's from the book Famous Hymns and Their Stories, which is written by Christopher Idle and narrated by Margaret Lauritsen.
Rock of Ages. It was August 1756. A small group of people was meeting in a wooden barn in a village in Southern Ireland. The speaker, a layman named Morris, could hardly spell his own name, but he could read and understand the Apostle Paul's words in Ephesians. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. And as he spoke, 16-year-old Augustus Toplady put his trust in Christ for the first time. Toplady's most famous hymn grew from a single four-line verse appearing in the Gospel magazine. He could be a bitter and obsessive controversialist, but this hymn has outlasted all his volumes of argument. Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. Not the labours of my hands can fulfil thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears for ever flow, all for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Saviour, or I die. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyelids close in death, when I soar through tracts unknown, see thee on thy judgment throne, Rock of ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Augustus Toplady, 1740-1778.
If you've got anything you'd like to share with us, do get in touch. You can call us free on 0333 123 1255. That's 0333 123 1255. Or you can email info@torchtrust.org. You can also find us online at torchtrust.org or on Facebook and Twitter by searching for Torch Trust, and that's all one word, Torch Trust. And don't forget, you can listen again from the Torch Trust website or search for Torch Trust wherever you get your podcasts. Until next week, from me, Sheila, and everyone on the Reflections team, it's goodbye and God bless.
Reflections from Torch Trust.